Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here. It's good to be together again. Just give me a minute to make sure everything's good on our end. A big thank you to Annika Bender. Annika led our kids' church time again this morning and did an excellent job. And I know my kids enjoyed it and appreciated it. So thank you very much. We're grateful that you're filling in today. And Annika was filling in for Kristen, and Christina Bunny is filling in for Marco again this morning. The Deondrads are away on some more well-earned vacation and making the most of summertime. So we're going with our second crew. So I'm grateful to both of them. Thank you for all of your help and well done in advance. And so thanks for being with us so that we can worship our God together this morning. You see that Marcus and Silas and I are, we're sitting on two chairs instead of three, because Marco set us up on this little platform on the platform. So we're raised up rather high. So that's why we're a little squished together here, but we're gonna cuddle and worship at the same time. So that's what we're gonna do this morning. The boys are going to help me with the call to worship. So let's start with God's greeting, and then they're going to read part of the call to worship with us. This is Isaiah speaking for God, or speaking of what God's doing. And he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And maybe you feel like you need to have favor proclaimed over you this morning. And so I pray you receive that. You guys remember you're going to read the all sections? All right, let's do our call to worship, and you can read along with the boys from your home. Our God is not far from us.
In him we live and move and have our being.
The Lord is near to all who call on him.
To all who call on him in truth.
He hears their cry and saves them.
The Lord watches over all who love him.
He comes to bring peace.
May we recognize the time of his visitation.
Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing our first song together. As we started singing that song, I was reminded of something that Annika said when she started leading the kids' church today. The kids' church, they didn't do any singing, but she still really emphasized that everything that we're doing here is worship because we're coming here to worship God together. And so kids were coloring, and that was still an act of worship. We're now going to sit under scripture, and this is another act of worship. Last week during some of the discussion time following the service, you know, we've been going through these Psalms of confession and so on. And someone, a number of people raised, you know, the fact that, hey, when we talk about sin and talking about the need for God to search us, to bring to our awareness even the sins that we are not aware but still need to confess. So that sounds really scary. And what came to mind as I was processing that afterwards was Psalm 103. And so I invite you to even close your eyes right now and hear this as God's word to you as you think about your own times of confession and God bringing such things to mind. Because this is a God who does not back up the truck and dump all at once, that he deals with us with compassion as well. And this psalmist has experienced it. Psalm 103 of David. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are made, and he remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass, and they flourish like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place is remembered no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I love this psalm because the psalmist is fully aware of the sins that he has committed, and yet he remembers that God does not deal with him the way that he deserves. And isn't that true for all of us this morning? We are going to be celebrating communion following the next song and congregational prayer. We are then going to celebrate communion. So if you haven't got those elements ready, you have a little bit of time, but not much. But just be prepared for that shortly, because we're celebrating communion partly because this is a God who has not counted our sins against us and has done something about it. So let's sing. Let's worship our God again through song. This is What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
To bear, what a privilege to care. should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so fair?
Okay, we're now going to worship through prayer. Carlisle Hartog, one of our council members, is going to offer our congregational prayer. So it looks like Carlisle's ready to go. Thanks for doing this, Carlisle. Take it over. Go for it.
Thanks, Ben. Good morning. Let's go to God. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for who you are. God, we admit we know such a small bit about you and that a lot of that's on us for not seeking you. But God, I praise you for who you are, for your love that you sustain us, for your holiness, that you are the rock that we can turn to, that you are the God who has all knowledge, and you are the God who has the power to bring life and death. God, you are a God who deserved to be feared and respected, but you have chosen in your unimaginable goodness that we could come to know you, that you would be our Father, our Savior, and even your friend. God, we praise you for that, and we thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. God, help us to share your vision for your kingdom in this world, that we would desire justice, that we would look out for those in suffering, that we would desire holiness in ourselves, that we would know you, and out of knowing you, that we would make you known. God, I pray that you'd change our hearts from wanting the things of this world, that we would want you. God, I pray that others around us would be changed because of the changes you make in us. I thank you for what you're doing in our church as you're calling us to look at our sin and repent and give ourselves fully to you. I pray that you do that in my life and all of our lives. God, we can't do this on our own. We need your power living in us to make us want these changes, to give us the power to make these changes. And we thank you that you've given your Holy Spirit to give us that power, that you are living within us. All that power that you used in creation, in everything that you've done in this world, you live within us. And so, God, I pray that you'd take away our fear that keeps us from giving ourselves over to you, that we wouldn't be afraid of what we'd lose, but we'd see what we can gain in you. God, I pray that you would be with us as we are weak, and in this world we have problems because of sin. I praise you for healing Rosalyn this last week, that she went to the hospital with her parents not knowing what was wrong, with a lot of symptoms, but came home with nothing wrong. God, we praise you for your miracle and your healing there. We pray for the Stibas, for Eugene and Elaine, I pray that the infection will be figured out and cleared up so that the next steps of treatment can occur. And I pray that you'd be with them and give them the strength and the trust in you to continue through this tough time that they're going through. God, we think of Red Deer right now, and the death of Dr. Reynolds, and just how tragic that was, and how it makes people realize just how fleeting life can be. God, I pray that you'd be with that family and all who knew them. I pray that you'd be with the medical community as they're in shock from this and have fear from it as well. God, I pray that you would just show your love to all right now. We pray for Ken's neighbor, Bill, as he goes through lung cancer treatments. I pray that you'd be with him. And if he doesn't know you, that Ken would be able to use this opportunity to share your love. We pray for Kelsey and where she is with her green card application and wanting to move forward in serving you. I pray that you would be in that situation. Teach her what she needs to learn through this process so that when she's able to go and serve you. God, we just pray that you would continue to convict in our hearts, that we would see anything in ourselves, that you would show us things in ourselves that need to change, and that we would be brave to give those things over to you and receive times of refreshing and blessing from you. God, we know that you are good and that you want good things for us. Help us to desire you more and love you more. Thank you that you've allowed us to know you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carlisle. I hope you've got your communion elements ready. We're just going to move right into communion. I'm just going to offer one prayer for both, and then we're going to take both of those elements together. You know these scriptures well. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body that has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after dinner, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, Lord, or so friends, I would invite you to take the bread and take the cup together. This is Christ's body and Christ's blood given for you in remembrance of him. Lord, these elements are quickly taken, and if we are not careful, quickly forgotten. And yet we are here doing this once again to remind ourselves that it is because of this that we can be here at all. It's because of Christ's body and blood that we can come to you in prayer. It's because you are a God who does not hold our sins against us. It's because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin, washes away all unrighteousness. Lord, you know we couldn't have done any of this on our own. And so we say thank you. And we praise you. You are the good God who sacrifices everything for the sake of your children. Make us people who will then offer everything in gratitude and worship. Amen. I want to do something a little bit different this morning than what I normally do. Paul in 2 Corinthians says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ crucified." And yet, how many times does Paul keep telling his story? If you read through Acts, that story comes up 3 times, and it comes up, he reminds people about it regularly in the epistles. And so what I'd like to do this morning is tell a little bit of my story and what I think a little bit of what's going on in our church and sort of weave those two things together in a similar way to what Paul does. And so that's why I wanted to make sure we're having communion before this, and the cross is behind me, because as much as this has been telling a story, it is not really my story. It's "we preach not ourselves, but Christ crucified." And so whatever it is that has been going on is only going on because of Christ and what he is doing And especially how he is speaking through his word, but also how he is moving with his spirit these days. Joel, quite a number of weeks ago, shared with us at the AGM and even with me before that about how Revelation 3 was really speaking to him, this church at Laodicea, and how he found himself being that apathetic guy within an apathetic church. And I since going over that passage again and again and again, and we eventually shared up here, that has just been one of the ways that God has been speaking. But I would say that it's been a little bit more like a wake up, not just conviction of sin, but more like waking up to something. So let me read the message just before that one, two churches before. This is Revelation 3. This is Jesus speaking to the church at Sardis. He says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death, for I have not found your works perfect, not perfect in the sight of my God." I would say that's a good way of capturing where I think I was at the beginning of COVID-19. COVID-19 hit, and for me, one of the reoccurring things during that period was just this overwhelming sense of, I don't actually have the spiritual resources to deal with this. It was a really, really humbling time. And I'm a pastor. What is going on? And just this reoccurring thought, like, have we not been preparing for difficult times as Christians all along? And yet here I am feeling completely inadequate for something like that. And so that was, in many ways, the beginning of a search to say, I believe the stuff I've been talking about, and it's not that I haven't seen any sort of fruit in my life, but I feel like God has still got such a small portion of my life overall. And I've described it a number of times to people as saying it felt like I was living on the seasoning and the salt of the food rather than the food itself. And so that's just, I had an inadequate Christian walk. And it was over the next number of weeks and months where this passage was, I was living it without even actually reading it. It was where God started saying, you need to wake up. You've been playing this thing. So Joel and I start going for walks. Joel Cadu and I start going for walks every couple of weeks. And he just starts sharing with me about some things going on in his life. And it's in some of those walks where some of that conviction really started to hit. Like, I feel like I've been playing with this thing the whole time. That in many ways, I have the reputation, the name of being awake and alive, but I'm not. And I'm not finding life in what I've got. And so we start going on our walks, and I start getting this conviction, like I have to be woken up. God, like, start waking me up. And so growing alongside of that, at the same time as we're moving into online worship services, and COVID-19 is clearly not going away. And I just keep coming back to this conviction. I can't pinpoint, like, why I have this conviction. I just have this conviction, like, we're not going back to the old. Like, this is a time of preparation. And I don't know preparation for what. I have no idea. And so we start wandering into the desert together. I personally, and we corporately, to some degree, we start going through episodes in between and asking God, you know, okay, if this is a desert time, what are you trying to do? Where are you at work right now? And over and over again, there's just this growing sense of, if this is preparation, even if I don't know if it is preparation for something, I feel like I have to start thinking in terms of what does God do in the scriptures to prepare people for what's next. And so John the Baptist starts coming to mind. And I thought about doing a series just on John the Baptist, and I obviously didn't end up doing that. But John the Baptist starts coming to mind, and like, okay, well, what was John actually doing? What was he asking people to do? John the Baptist was someone whose whole job it was to get people ready for what's next, because God is about to do something big and do something different. So how does he go and get people ready? Well, they go out and they start being baptized to confess their sins and have those washed away, to prepare them for what was next. And it was out of that I started feeling like God was moving me into this season of confession and repentance. I had no idea that it would ever leak out into messages and so on. It was just something that God was doing personally in me. I wasn't telling anyone else to go do it. It was happening in me and in sort of, I don't know, May-ish. And as I start asking God to show me, like, where do I need to repent? And I think I showed you this. Like, I keep a little journal, and I used to just journal. I have a friend who's like, "You journal?" I'm like, "Only when things are wrong." I never journal during the good times. It's just a way of helping me process the things that are wrong. So I start journaling. And God starts showing me, like, here are places in your life where you need to repent. And as I'm doing that, I'm realizing I have to start making apologies. Oh, this is terrible. And so I start, you know, making some phone calls, a few visits. I start going through my season of confession, not just to God, but apparently I had to do that with other people too, which has actually brought a lot of life. It sounds terrible and scary, and it was scary. It is scary when I make a phone call. If you're expecting one, you might get one. I don't know. I'm not saying God has done that process with me yet. But anyway, I start going through that. And as I'm doing that, God is starting to show me some things. And I will never forget. I'm so grateful that we have these times in our service often. I don't think I'm going to do it today, but often where we have Q&A or not even people asking questions, but just offering comments. And I will never forget Lynette Braun speaking up and saying, yeah, we want God to be nearer, but sometimes there are things in our lives that get in the way. Like, I think she used the word barriers. And that just stuck with me. And so I started praying into that, like, God, I'm getting hungrier for you. And I don't know where this is coming from, but there are things that are in the way and I don't know what they are. I often say I'm blind to my blind spots, right? That's redundant, but it's so true that I just don't see these things, and you're going to have to show me them and be gentle because I'm vulnerable. And so sort of one at a time, as I'm journaling, God starts bringing some of this stuff out. And so I am grateful. This is not sort of a one-way thing. Like, I get things from the congregation as well. And I am blessed by our interactions, and God uses them to help me as well. So I'm going through this season of confession and repentance. I'm making amends. I was making the joke that I'm not going through a 12-step program, but I feel like I'm reaping some of the benefits of it. I'm doing that stuff, and I'm starting to ask God for more of himself, because by this time we've moved through our series on episodes in between, and I'm preaching through Joel. And you know, There was certainly some thought put into why we were moving into the book of Joel. I didn't just sort of randomly open the Bible and say, here's where we're going to land. There was thought put into that, but I had no idea that God was going to meet me in the way that he did in and through the book of Joel. And we started off in Joel because it's a time of crisis for these people. who've gone through locust plague and then gone through invading army. It's just like, it's just going from bad to worse. And as I'm mapping out the series, I'm mapping it out to line up the end, or the end of Joel 2, beginning of Joel 3, where it talks about in the latter days, the Lord will pour out his spirit on all flesh, because that's the passage that gets picked up at Pentecost. And so I was trying to line that up with Pentecost Sunday. And for some reason, I screwed up the date of Pentecost Sunday. And so instead of preaching one message on that passage, I had to preach a second one, because at the very last minute, I realized this isn't Pentecost Sunday. And then as I'm almost at the next Sunday, I realized once again, this isn't Pentecost Sunday. Like, how did I screw this up again? And so I've got to go back and feel like I got to preach this a third time in a different way so that we can line up Joel with Pentecost Sunday. I don't know why. I just felt like I had to do that. And so it took three messages to get through just that section of Joel and Acts 2 together. And as I am praying and prepping for those messages, I'm just coming under this increasing conviction that as I shared in the messages, like the greatest gift that God can give us is himself. And I've never believed that. Like, when I actually look at what I want most out of life, I didn't believe that. And so that's being combined with my season of confession and repentance, where suddenly God is starting to show me the different idols that are the things that I worship in my life, the things that essentially I put above him. And the ways that I've just failed. I came to the very humbling conclusion that if I were really, really honest about the things that I want most, for example, for my family, they would be that my kids would be extremely well-read and well-educated, and that they'd be as healthy as possible. And then, as I started looking at it, realized that idolatry ends up working itself out into all of the different interactions in our family life, and the goals that I set for our kids, and the ways that we even unconsciously work towards those goals. And so God just started really putting his finger on me for just different things. And so maybe even just to stick with the family thing for a moment, I think I already shared this with a number of weeks ago, but you're not all here in the summer, nor are you here every week anyway. So this may be review for some of you. But as God started showing me that, he started making me realize that I, not only do I have these idols and it's going in the wrong, our family life, like my part in this is going in the wrong direction. But I started asking God to really help me disciple my kids in a way that's good for them. And I swear, within a couple of weeks, I suddenly have this random opportunity where I'm making coffee at 6 o'clock in the morning to go and have my quiet time. And Marcus is sitting in the living room reading the Psalms. And like, I've never seen this before. Do you want to come upstairs and read your Bible with me? And so we come up, and as we're going up the stairs, Silas comes out of his room, and we go into Marcus invites him, and the three of us go sit on our bed, and we each read our own thing for a little while. And then before I know it, we're having a conversation about Jesus. And before we know it, we're having a conversation about the Spirit. And then we're having a conversation about forgiveness and sin. And before I know it, like, they're wanting to pray and ask Jesus to be Lord of their life. And like, we haven't had these types of conversations. It's always felt weird, because I've always thought that they've been inducted into the spiritual Christian life. But in a way, it's still in that moment felt like, no, they still need moments like this where we make formal commitments and so on. So there was just this stuff started happening as God started putting his finger on sins in my life and then dealing with it. And it was prayer, and it was just confronting sin and idols. And it was really, really good. Confronting other things too, like, I shared, I think it was last week or the week before, about how As I started asking God, not just to reveal the things that I'm not aware of, but then to start to show me, like, where do these come from? Like, what are the roots of these things? He starts showing me. And then as I start inviting him to get down to some of those roots and deal with it, things start to change in my life. Like, patience starts to increase. And there's suddenly a little bit more grace for, I'm not a patient person. I will be impulsive for the rest of my life and impatient, but maybe not. But anyway, like, just there are things like that that started getting addressed. So that's being combined with this prayer, that this growing conviction that the greatest gift that God can give us is himself, as we're going through Joel and Pentecost 3 weeks in a row. And at the same time, I went for a walk with Joel, and Joel's telling me about how he started this prayer group or something. And the next day I was praying, and just praying through, I guess, the stuff I've been preaching in Joel, and saying, God, will you give me more of yourself? Like, if you are actually life, like, give me more of you. Like, I want you. Like, that's, like, give me more of your spirit. And maybe some of you get uneasy when we talk about the spirit. Let's remember, it's one God. We only worship one God, three persons. And the only way that God is with us is through his spirit. Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is bodily with his Father on the throne right now. Jesus is in heaven. So the only way that God is with us, the only way that Jesus is with us, is by his Spirit. We have been enthroned in heavenly places with Christ, as Ephesians said, and Christ went up and sent his Spirit to be with us here on earth. So we have those sort of two ways of being joined with God. Is we have already been seated up there, and he has come down and is still here, but it is through his spirit. So anyway, I'm just asking for more of God, and that comes by the spirit. And I just had this sort of sense, like, well, if you want the spirit, go where the spirit is. And so on a whim, I sort of text Joel and say, hey, you guys are praying Monday night. Like, is there room for one more? He tells me yes. So I show up, and I'm not really sure why I'm there. Like, this was just sort of a random thought and a random text. And maybe you haven't always found prayer meetings full of life. And I understand that. Neither have I. I'm like, God, why am I here with a whole bunch of people I don't know other than Joel? And the guy whose house it's at, we're sitting in his garage, 6 feet apart, and he says, okay, here's why we're here, my friends. He says, Luke 11 says that if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And he says, we are actually commanded in Scripture to be filled by the Spirit, or filled with the Spirit. And we are commanded in Scripture to walk by the Spirit. And he just quotes a whole bunch of things like that. And it's just like, zap, like, this is why I needed to come tonight. This is why I had that thought. It was like a eureka moment. Like, it was an epiphany. So we're praying, and it's, I think I'm the only pastor there. And the guy who hosts it's a missionary. And as I'm listening to people praying, I'm going, I have never heard people who are so, I've never seen people or heard people so hungry for God. So I'm feeling deeply convicted. And remember, this is the season where I'm feeling like I have been playing Christianity. Like, I need to wake up. And I'm being surrounded by people who are just starving for God. We're not praying for healing for this person or my aunt or cousin or whatever. We are asking simply for God's presence to come. We are asking for God himself. So that's the whole Joel 2:3 thing again, that God would pour out his spirit. So all of these things are simultaneously coming together. And it just starts a hunger in me like I have never experienced before. And it's been going on for months. Just getting more and more hungry for God and being more and more willing to say, okay, God, like you got to show me the stuff that's still in the way, because I don't want anything in the way of you. And not only that, but then starting to pray two more things. One is, God, give me more of a heart for prayer. There's a verse in Zechariah 12, verse 10 that says, God says, I will pour out on my people a spirit of grace and supplication. And the Hebrew word for supplication there is more like pleading, like not just our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come kind of thing. Like they have a different word for rote prayers like that. Like this is pleading prayer. And so I start praying and asking God for that. And then the second thing I start doing is I start asking God, saying, I have these desires, but will you actually take my desires and start giving me yours instead? Because mine aren't good enough. So I start praying some of these things regularly. And a couple of weeks later, like I'm waking up and looking in the rearview mirror kind of thing and going, wow, God has like actually been answering those requests, because I'm so hungry for God and I can't get enough prayer and I don't know where it came from because that wasn't me. So I'm starting to see like answers to prayer. At the same time, I'm starting to notice that, okay, if these things are going on in my life, then perhaps I have been leading the congregation in the wrong way. Or if sin has been clouding my vision and I haven't been focusing on it to the degree that I need to, perhaps the primary teacher here need to start taking us through some of these times of these prayers of confession in the Psalms. And so that's what we've been doing through the summer. And I've found it really rich. It's been really interesting to do this together and see the way that other people are starting to wrestle with these same things. I actually noticed it I noticed it a few different times. So the first time I think was when Joel and I shared up here together, and I noticed people starting to open up in the discussion time afterwards. Like things were starting to happen at Unity where suddenly people were starting to open up and share how they were wrestling or share how God was meeting them and they were feeling convicted and things were uncomfortable. So that was really interesting. So I gave all the credit to Joel. And then the next time I really started noticing it was when Corey spoke. And there was a huge discussion afterwards. And it went a really long time and just more people being more vulnerable and sharing about how God is speaking to them about specific things, or God is forcing them to wrestle with things right now. Like God just seems to be on the move, bringing out some things in people that maybe he hadn't been before, or maybe we hadn't been paying attention, but either way, it was just starting to happen. And I was noticing it in the different discussions that were coming up. And so as all this is going on, and I'm starting to meet my prayer group every Monday, because I'm like, I'm going back here every single week. After the first week, I'm like, this is the highlight of my week. And I put it in my calendar and I said, everything else gets worked around this from now on. And so as that starts happening, about the second or third week, I asked the guy, the missionary who's hosting this group. I've known him by name, but not known him really personally very well. And so I just randomly one day say, hey, we don't really know each other very well. I'm meeting in your garage every week. Do you want to have coffee? So we have coffee and we have a couple hour long conversation just talking about how God's moving. And I just have this idea at the end of this, like, I have to ask this guy for a book. And so like I put it off till the very last second. As I'm like walking at his door, I'm like, do you have a book for me? And he reaches on his shelf and grabs his shelf. He just says, here, read this. So I think that was on a Friday, and I saw him on Monday and handed the book back. And I'm like, what's my next book? Here now, assigning me reading, because I could not put it down. And it was talking about a particular subject that I have never had any interest in. like not the least bit of interest. So for those of you who know me and know sort of the things that I like reading, you know, I often quote people like N.T. Wright and Eugene Peterson and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, sort of these academic pastoral type figures doing sort of academic and pastoral theology. Like that's sort of my niche. And Jack Bromley passed on a book to me a couple of months ago because he knows I love biblical languages. And he's like, you got to read this book. You really enjoy it. I've read it, got a lot out of it. And it's been sitting on my shelf since then because it has got to the bottom of the pile and everything else is being piled up with readings from my friend and readings that Joel's giving me right now. And I can't get to the things that I've always been interested in because suddenly they taste like dust compared to the things that this new topic that's just, I'm just being gripped by. And I know I haven't told you the topic yet. I'm getting to that. So I hand my friend the next book and I'm like, what else have you got for me? And this reading just starts to consume me. And it's being combined with these prayer meetings where I just have this incredible hunger for God and for God to actually show up and show up in life in ways I haven't experienced before. And I'm seeing that start to happen. I'm seeing it in my prayer life. I'm seeing it in my kids' life. Our family life has definitely changed. He's revealing these things. I'm dealing with sins. I'm making amends. Like all of this stuff is kind of going on at the same time. And one day I'm rocking Rosalind in the dark because we cannot get this kid to sleep. Don't have a baby during a pandemic when church group moves to online and you just like it's crazy. So thank you for all of your grace. So I'm rocking Rosalind in the dark some evening. And this thought sort of comes to me like I can't put a word to what is this season of preparation for? What is next? What is it? And I can't quite put a word to what I'm getting out of and looking for in these readings, but it's just like this hunger. And I can't put a word to like, what is God doing right now? I'm sort of lost for words. And so what comes to mind as I'm rocking Rosalind is this idea like, Weren't there those things called Great Awakenings back like hundreds of years ago in the States? What was that? And so I look it up and like, because my major, yes, I went to seminary, but my major in seminary was biblical studies and languages. So if you move beyond like 100 AD, I just don't know anything about church history. I took my one required course and forgot it since. So there was something about like Great Awakenings. Like, what was that? And so I asked Google, and Google sort of reminds me of the course notes that I had forgotten about how God, there were some particular periods in church history where God just steps in new ways and wakes people up to him. That's why they're called awakenings. And so suddenly I'm starting to get a little bit of a language for, here's what I think I'm asking for is like an awakening, like the revelation thing that I just read us, right? And I'm sort of vaguely aware that currently within the church, like the church in China is exploding, and the church in Africa is exploding, the church in Latin America is exploding. And that's not happening here. Not nearly to the same degree that it is there. And so the next question I ask Google is, have there been any, I don't know if I said awakenings or revivals or something like that, like modern day ones in North America? Because I'm not aware of this thing. And what comes up right away is a video on YouTube on the Saskatoon revival. You know me, I'm not from these parts. And the Saskatoon revival was in 1971. I was born in 82 in Ontario. So, right, this is not with, I may have heard that term once before. But anyway, it's a YouTube video with the pastor where the Saskatoon revival started. And it started in a Baptist church, a guy named Bill McLeod. And this YouTube video looks like it was recorded in the late 90s or something. The quality isn't great. The video isn't great. The stories that he tells were amazing. So I'm like, Saskatoon Revival. Okay, well, that's modern day. That's kind of local. Maybe I should read this or listen to this and hear a little bit more. And I swear, hitting play and listening to that thing was like, the only way I can describe it, it's not a great way, but it's sort of, it was like spiritual heroin. For me, it was so addicting, and it gave me a word that I had been, that word that I'd been looking for, like, what is this season of preparation? And what is this hunger that I have? What is going on here in my church and in my life personally and in our family? And watching this video, it's not a lecture. It's just the pastor telling story after story about how God came to their church and changed it and changed the churches in the neighborhood until it was the churches in Saskatoon, until they were sending out teams across Canada and into the States and into other countries. God touched that group of people, those Baptists, so powerfully that the pastor goes on and says, we stopped keeping track when we'd sent out more than 2,000 teams to go help other churches and talk about what it was that God had done among us. And so it's just story after story of God convicting his people. And so the stories are mostly about... You guys don't need to be quiet, okay? The stories are mostly about how God suddenly shows up and there's suddenly deep conviction on the part of the people. And people start going to make apologies and they start searching out the sin in their own life. And then they start being filled with the Spirit, not meaning that they suddenly spoke in tongues, but meaning simply that they suddenly were aware of God's presence in ways that they had not previously been aware of God's presence. And he started working in their lives in ways that he'd never been at work in their lives before. And it was as people got serious about sin and serious about him. And suddenly, like I said, suddenly I had a word for what do I think has been going on? And so I'm sitting with this video, I'm sitting with all of these books on revival going, I don't even understand this, because if I look at my bookshelf in my office, like there's nothing on this in there, because this has not been the least bit interesting in my life. And suddenly I can't read anything else. And I can't watch TV anymore because I don't have time. Because of what God is doing in my life at the moment. Like, it feels like Joel keeps saying God hijacked my life. Like, that's just how it feels. Like, this isn't my suggestion for how sort of the next program the church needs to run. It's simply the description of what I think God has been doing. I don't have another way of putting it. Revival is simply starting with poverty of spirit and asking that God do his work so that he pour out his Spirit and make us the people that he's always wanted us to be. And so that it doesn't just change a church, but it changes a neighborhood and changes a city. The pastor on the Saskatoon Revival video will talk about how their community, their city of Saskatoon, which is almost exactly the same size of Red Deer, or was at the time, that people started going down to the RCMP to confess crimes. Like, that's how seriously God started coming on the people. So I will just encourage you to go find that video because it's absolutely fascinating. And what drew me to it wasn't like, as I said, I'm not looking for a church fix. That wasn't even on my mind. I was looking for what is God doing. And what drew me to it and what has kept me reading about revival after revival is that it's simply that God is pouring himself out and things happen. And like I said, I'm hungrier for God than I've ever been. So that's what's been going on with me. And I'm asking myself sort of, well, what does this have to do with our church? And then I start looking at the things that have been happening in our church where some people have been really wrestling with sin. And some people have been starting to go and make apologies to other people for the things that they, for the ways that they offended them, for the ways they sinned against them. I'm looking at our church and I'm seeing that some people are hungrier for prayer than they've ever been. And some people are looking for God to be moving in new ways. And I'm starting to ask, is this what God's doing here? Well, I'm not sure, right? So I put this stuff in my council report. And I sort of lay out sort of the journey that I've been on. They were aware of some of it, but not other parts. And I lay it out and I give it to them, and it's 2 pages long. And so we just talk at our council meeting on Tuesday. And I say, like, guys, this is a little bit of testing the waters, because I feel like this is where I'm at in the direction that I feel like I need to pray. But I want to know sort of where you guys are at. And the responses ranged from, yeah, I think this is where we're at, to like wildly enthusiastic. So, well, yeah, quite enthusiastic. So it was interesting to see that everyone said, yeah, I think God is doing something new here, and we don't know what it is, and we need to pray for direction, as we have been for the last couple of months as council and now as a church body as well. And just asking, like what's next, God? Because I'm not sure, but I'm sure hungry for you. And so the council said, yeah, we need to keep praying in this direction. And leaning into it. We don't know what that means. We are not in control of this. I do not know. All I know is I'm going to keep focusing on poverty of spirit and sin and confession, and asking God to fill me and let him do his work, and saying that all of my dreams for myself, all my dreams for my family, all my dreams for Unity Baptist are not good enough for you, God. So you give me yours. And let's see where this goes. I sent out that council report to a number of people just to say, not within our congregation, just a number of other people, and said, like, you guys are my friends. I need you to pray for us right now, because as people wake up, we have an enemy who isn't too happy about that. So we're going to need extra prayer. Would you pray for us? And so one of the people I sent it to was Terry Weeb, the pastor at Balmoral Bible Chapel. He's preached here. You guys know who he is. You know that I read Greek with him every couple of weeks. We talk shop. He's kind of a mentor. So I sent him this and asked him to pray. And he gets back to me right away. He sends me like 3 emails, like back to back. He's quite excited. And he's like, I was actually quite touched by the Saskatoon revival. I think it changed the course of my life and the course of a number of my friends' lives. And so that was really interesting to hear. He's like, when I was going to Dallas Seminary back in the 80s, we were hearing about, they had been hearing about what they called the Canadian revival. So that was kind of encouraging. Well, I go and I share some of this with some pastor friends. I hadn't planned on it. And then one of them calls me the next day. He's like, we have to talk. So something had clearly sparked in him. So that's neat. We're going to start praying together. And then after that, I get a call from Terry Fossen. And Terry Fossen is our regional minister. I had sent him the same thing. Terry says, Ben, I just can't tell you how enthusiastic and supportive I am of you guys and what's happening down there. He said, I was deeply touched by the Saskatoon revival. And in fact, Bill McLeod, the guy in the video that I told you about, the YouTube video, he said, our church, when I was pastoring Central Baptist in Edmonton in the 80s, our church invited Bill McLeod to come and share with us. And it was such a game changer for me personally and for our church that neither have been the same since. He said, I am 100% behind you. You guys are in my prayers, and I'm very excited to see what God does. So that was, those are just sort of two really encouraging things. But I'm seeing that I'm hitting 11 o'clock and I'm not usually this verbose. But I want to give just a minute or two. We will move into discussion for for anyone who wants to join and continue the conversation. We'll have that discussion group in a minute. But I wanted to give the opportunity for Joel or any council member to speak up and just say either something that's been on their mind, if something's sort of twigged for you, or if it's if there's something that I've left out or something you want to correct or something like that, please feel free just to unmute your mic and say here are my thoughts. I want to just this shouldn't be just Ben. So I just wanted to give that opportunity. So Joel or council, if you guys, because these are the people who have been journeying on the inside a little bit more. So I just want to give that opportunity. Is there anyone that wants to share anything?
Can you hear me, Ben?
I can hear you loud and clear, brother.
Yeah, I just want to say that what I think is happening in Unity is God is moving in us. And when he's moving in our pastor in the way that Ben has just described, we are very blessed for God to be touching our pastor in this way. I would encourage us as a church, it's been on my heart to pray. We need to pray. And I've been praying for a spirit of prayer. Ben has been praying for the same spirit of prayer that Ben has asked for and has been answered in his life. I believe as a church, we need to ask for the same one, because the move of God, he will come in power if we ask him for a spirit of prayer, and we are getting together and praying. So I would... the same things that Ben has shared with today in his life, those are available to each and every one of us for God to completely invade our life and give us his desires and his thoughts. But it starts with prayer and it starts with repentance and poverty of spirit. And so I just affirm Ben's message and want to encourage everybody that where Ben's at, is available to each and every one of us through the grace of our Lord. And I just want to encourage everybody that we can head in this direction. This is something God's called Unity to be at this time, at this place. And it starts with prayer, and we need to be hungry for his word and prayer. And I'm very excited for this. I really believe God is moving in Unity Baptist, and I'm excited. So Ben, we love you. I heard the Spirit speaking through you this morning, and I'm just excited and excited for the direction of Unity Baptist.
Thanks, Joel. Are there any council members that want to speak up? One final thought, as Joel was saying, thanks for your encouragement there. As I said, I think God is moving in this church in some interesting ways. And, you know, one of the ways, it's just a little thing, but you wouldn't be surprised at actually how big it is in some ways. When I was with some of my pastor friends on Friday, a couple of them were just sharing how painful and how discouraging this COVID season has been for them, and the way that their congregations have reacted to every decision they have made, to the point where one of them looks like they want to quit. And I honestly couldn't relate, because you guys have been so patient and gracious and have been able to recognize that no one's perfect. And we still have to make decisions, and you have submitted maybe your likes and dislikes to, I guess, God, and to letting him work and speak in the midst of what's going on. And so I want to say thank you, because that says to me that there, God is doing something different here than maybe he is doing in other places where it's a much more tense environment, and it's taken its toll on my friends. And so thank you. This is one more thing that shows me that I think God is at work in a special way. And so go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit carry you through this week. Go in peace, my friends,